Morning, brothers and sisters. After that reading, you'll know what it's about, won't you? If you have the King James Version of the Bible, the word, of course, is charity in 1 Corinthians 13, mentioned a number of times, and of course, we're well aware that it's a very, well, not a good translation, it would be better translated love. And that's the basis of my exhort this morning, that God is love. The love of Jesus in his life and death, and our love, what it may be. It's interesting that the first mention of the word love in the Bible is to do with a test of sacrifice and faith. And it's in Deuteronomy 22 verse 2. Just one for connection. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abram? And he said, Here I am. Then God said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now here's an example of what is acceptable to God and that which is not. We know that Abram had another son born by an Egyptian, Hagar. He was not acceptable. He did not have or show the worthy characteristics of his father Abraham. So God requires certain standards to be his people. And of course we had the test of faith too. And shortly after this we have 10 commandments in Exodus. Exodus 20 verse 6 in particular, or verse 5 for connection. You shall not bow down any false gods or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Verse 6 says, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. So again, God tests us by saying that we should love him. It also requires a sacrifice. We have to suppress our life to serve God. Joshua tells us what was required for them in chapter 22 verse 5, where he says, But take careful heed to do the commandment of the Lord which Moses, the servant of God, commanded you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So we can see in these two examples that love requires action. There are more instances of love in the Old Testament, you know, there's King David, how it got him into trouble. There's Ruth and the love of Boaz. There's the love of David and Jonathan and so on. But before we leave the Old Testament, we have one of the last times love is mentioned. It's recorded in Zephaniah. And it's a very comforting verse for us. It reads, The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. And this is us, brothers and sisters. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. How great that is. I know that Brother Leo loves it because he did that in his exhortation a wee while ago. So he can say amen to that, as we should all do. So then we move on to the New Testament. And the first time love is mentioned in the New Testament is just after Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness, and he went to Galilee. He was speaking to a large number of people, and in particular to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, and he gave them the Beatitudes then. But funny enough, love's not mentioned in them. And then Jesus talks about the way of life. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Jesus says, You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you got? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? This was the extension of the law. We now have to love everyone. Before that, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, as Jesus said in verse 38. Again, we have an action required. Or maybe the action is not required. There should be no action or retaliation. So then, just for a moment, let's look at the word love. You can't see love. Love itself is an action of a person to another. So I looked it up in a dictionary, and it says, love, delight in, or admire, greatly. Greatly cherish, to enjoy, or find pleasure. Now what I found remarkable about was this, that it's all sort of self-centered. It's about me. The dictionary doesn't seem to see love as someone doing something for somebody else in the form of sacrifice or performing an action which may cost you something. And this is the reverse in the Bible. That's why Jesus, our Master, is someone very special to us. He showed the greatest love of all. Every action that the Lord did was not for himself, but for others. We know that every time he performed a miracle, it cost him. Energy left his body and it drained him. But he carried that load for all of us. So then, what does love do for us? Well, this is what love should do. Whether it does or not, we know not. Love is patience. We're willing to wait for people or things, knowing that we're cared for and it will be done. Love is kindness. A willingness to put yourself out for others at any cost. Love is compassion. Putting yourself in another person's place and feeling the problems of their situation and doing your best to help them, to make them feel happy. Love is joy. When you do something which makes another person happy, for example, when you were baptized, the angels were all joyful in heaven because of that act. Love is freedom. We can cast our burden on the Lord and he will give us rest and we are free. We are not under the law, but grace. Love covers all. Everything we say or do should be done with love. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 says, since you have purified your lives in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the God which lives and abides forever. So we can see there's a great difference between the love that man conceives compared to the God of love. When Paul was speaking about marriage in Ephesians 5:25, he says, Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the Ecclesia and gave himself for her. Here Paul uses the word agape for love. For the love of wives and the love of the Ecclesia is agape. Brothers and sisters, we have a duty to love, because that is the one great characteristic of God. God is love. And we all know this next quote very, very well. Most will be able to take this off by heart, but I can't, so I've got to read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That quotation takes away the gap between God and man when you realise what they're giving by God involved. God's Son was subject to sin, to be betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, to mock trials, to scourging, and then a terrible death by crucifixion. Why? Because God loved you and me and all mankind if they will come unto him. It's through Jesus and only him that we can see and meet God. And a quotation immediately comes to mind, 1 John 3 verse 1, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, it's him isn't it, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. We shall be seen, but we know that when he is revealed, I messed that up. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has it not yet been revealed what we shall be? For we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So God so loved the people of his creation that he has offered some to become part of his family. What then is this word love intended to convey? Love has different meanings in the New Testament. One is, I hope I get these right, ahava, another is agapeo, another is phileo, another is aheb, another is agape, and then there's these two more different translations, agape, We'll go to 1 John 4, and in this chapter, each time the word love is mentioned, there's agape. The chapter from verse 7 can be split up to three sections of agape love. In verse 7 to verse 11, we might say is knowing God through love. I'll read it 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was shown toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's knowing God through love. In the next section, verses 12 to 16, is entitled, Seeing God Through Love. Verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. That's seeing God through love. The next four verses, 17 to 21, are the consummation of that love. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 19. We love God because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, who he can see, how can he love God, who he has not seen? Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That whole chapter is about agape love, a sacrificial love, a giving. God's love for us is that we should each of us reflect that love to all around us. We have to pass that love on. John 15 verse 9 records, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus, so I also have loved you. Stay in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will stay in my love, just as I have kept my commandments, my Father's commandments, and stay in his love. These things I, Jesus, have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Agape love. That you will lay your life down for me, but I will give my life for you. And there's no buts. That's it. We read earlier what you might call the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And it goes through the verses, we'll just run through them sort of very briefly. The first verse says, if you can speak many languages and have not love, your voice will sound like gongs. The verse 2, if you can't understand all the mysteries and have great knowledge and faith that you can move mountains, if you don't have love, you are nothing. Verse 3, if you feed the poor or offer your body to the gods, but you have no love, you gain nothing. Verses 4, 5, 6 and 7 describes what love is. Patient, kind, not jealous, or boastful, or conceited, that you know how to behave yourself. Not selfish, can't be tempted, doesn't harbour grudges, rejoices in the truth, it bears, believes, endures, and hopes all things. And from verse 8 on, it says that love will never end, and tells you how everything else will end. And the reason that love will never end is that God is love, and he is eternal. The final verse in Corinthians, verse 13 there. And now these three abide: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Two will disappear in the kingdom of God. We have faith now. What is our faith? Our faith is that Christ will come one day to set up that glorious kingdom on this earth. So if we all get to the kingdom, that won't be relevant, will it, brothers and sisters? And then we have the hope of Israel. And that is Jesus Christ. And we will be with him in the kingdom. So hope will have gone. So that leaves us with love. We know that God is love. God is eternal, as we said. So then love will be everlasting. In the kingdom, love will be limitless. Our cups will be overflowing with agape love. True love. Not like the so-called love we have now on earth. And as the Bible says, we cannot comprehend or imagine what love and grace and care is in store for us in the great kingdom of God which will be here. The one thing that love has done for us that we can see right now is God has called each one of us. And we have responded, and then again in love he has revealed to us his wonderful glory and great and beautiful character. Because of God's love, we've been adopted into his family, and we have become his children. And he is our Father, Abba. Ephesians 2:4 to close. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he has for us, made us alive with the Messiah. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. Together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith. And it is not from yourselves, it is a God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time, so that we should walk in them. The love of God. How great it is. And here it is on the table before us. Shalom.